Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, Ben Zobrist on the Rays picking up his option, Vice President Chaim Bloom on the Zobrist and Joel Peralta decisions, and Dave Wills on the week gone by.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, November 5th, and our first This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. So, now that we're here, let's start with the why. Over the past few seasons, you've certainly been extremely interested in our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com, especially during the offseason, and many of our Twitter followers at Rays Radio have asked for more content. So we listened and thought with a new manager coming on board, a new head of baseball operations, in essence, a new beginning for the Rays, that this was a perfectly good time to get started. Well, our first guest on today's podcast is a guy who is about to begin his 10th year with the Rays. It makes me feel old to say that. I wonder if for Ben Zobrist, it feels old to hear that. What about it, Ben?
Yeah. You know, it does feel... The more I talk about it, the more I'm like, that is a long time to be on one team. And, you know, I feel just so extremely grateful, you know, that I've been able to be in the big leagues for that long, first of all, but then also to be able to be with the same team. It's been really great, and you know, I couldn't have asked for a better time to be here. You know, in Tampa, we've won so much. It's been really awesome. So I'm looking forward to next year and getting back to that, and hopefully winning the first World Series for Tampa Bay.
What was the period like before the option was picked up? Because most of us don't really understand that. I mean, they look at the numbers you've put up. They look at, you know, if people are advanced into metrics, they'll look at your WAR and they'll say, well, this is an automatic. But for you, until they say something, is it an automatic in your mind? Are you worried about it? Are you concerned at all?
Well, you know, you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch. Certainly, I wasn't going to, you know, start thinking one particular way until I knew for sure, but I was pretty confident that the Rays would pick the option up. I felt like I played well enough for them to pick that option up, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, I wasn't thinking about it very much. I just knew it was going to come during that time. So I went through it last year a little bit, knew they were probably going to pick it up then as well, but you know, it's a year-by-year thing. You know, you just try and play the best that you can, and you hope that that pleases the organization you're with at the end of the year, and you feel like if it was everything that I could have given, if it was the best I could give, then you have to be kind of satisfied with that at the end of the day.
Chatting with Ben Zobrist, and again on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. And Ben, I'm sure you got plenty of text messages and congratulatory texts, phone calls, etc., when the option was picked up, but how much was your phone ringing before that during what's happened in the past couple weeks with Andrew going to the Dodgers and Joe deciding that he was moving on to the Cubs?
Yeah, it was interesting. I got several text messages. Not a lot of people were calling me about it, which is kind of good, but every time I would talk to people, they would ask me, you know, so what's going on? You know, what's happening? And obviously, I'm kind of like everybody else from the outside looking in still right now, but it's been good to touch base with Matt now that Matt's taken over, and Matt's been great at kind of giving some of the players an opportunity to kind of give our take on what we feel like that would be good for the clubhouse, so I really appreciate that, and you know, I'm really confident that Matt and the rest of the guys will figure out what needs to happen next. You know, I know that as good as Andrew and Joe were, there's still so many great minds in our front office, you know, that have the ability and still the model and the know-how to figure out how to put a winner together. So I have all the confidence in the world that Tampa Bay is going to stay not only competitive but in the win column.
And obviously it doesn't happen not only with good management and managers and coaches, but players too. You mentioned that Matt had reached out to you. Have you chatted with any of the other players on the Rays or exchanged messages with them about all this and kind of exchanged ideas?
Not yet. I've been traveling a little bit, and I'm going to be going to Japan soon with Evan. So I'll get a chance to talk to him and Jeff Beliveau about that coming up here soon. But it's weird, you know. You kind of think about, well, I wonder what this guy's thinking or that guy. But pretty much everybody, player standpoint right now, you know, when we finish the season, we kind of take a sabbatical from each other to a certain degree, just because you know, we're together so much during the season that you know, I've called a few of the guys and talked to them, but since we have had both things happen in the last few weeks here, I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to my teammates yet. But I know and am confident that they're in the same boat. They know that we got the right people in charge right now, and they're making the right decisions. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
You mentioned the travel that you're doing. We'll get to Japan in a second. You had what, your high school jersey retired? What was that like?
Yeah, it was actually my college jersey from Olivet Nazarene University, and it was incredible. First of all, I didn't have a clue they were doing that. I was getting inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame at my university, and I was speaking at their chapel service earlier in the day, and the president, you know, had a jersey brought up by the head coach to show me what they were going to do, and I just was, you know, flabbergasted, I guess is a word for it, just because, I mean, you really start feeling old when they're starting to say nobody can wear your number anymore. You know, but I was so honored by it, and just really cool thing for me and my family, and you know, with my school there.
I know how important your family is. Are they going to get to go to Japan with you? And how excited, either way, are you about this trip and this opportunity culturally?
Well, I'm taking my wife, Juliana. We can take one guest, and so I decided to bring her, and obviously she's super excited about it as well. We're really excited about the cultural experience. Just, you know, Japan is so far away, and we've never been really on that side of the world much, so it'll be a totally different experience, long, long flight, but then you get there, and I'm just really looking forward to, you know, seeing the baseball culture the way that it is over there as well. Excited that that's really the purpose for this trip. So for me, it's like you're killing two birds with one stone, taking a great off-season trip with my wife, but also getting a chance to experience the baseball culture in Japan is just really awesome. So I'm really excited about it.
And what else do you have in store? Because that's a pretty full off-season. Your number retired at one of the universities or colleges you attended, a trip to Japan. Is there anything else that you can fit into this off-season of note?
Oh man, well maybe a few things, but the one other thing that we are going to do travel wise is we're taking my wife and I are both taking our kids down to the Dominican Republic, and we're going to get a chance to visit our academy down there again, but also do some mission work, and you know, we're going to get a chance to go to an orphanage and really share Jesus with people and just love on people and do a couple clinics and whatnot. Just get a chance to let our kids see that culture as well, and obviously they love baseball there as well too. So we kind of have the baseball trips going on this offseason, which is fun.
But it's a lot of good community work too, and I'm not surprised that you're doing any of that as well. You've certainly been generous and will be generous with your time this offseason, generous with us. We appreciate a few minutes on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and I know we won't talk before then, so have a great Thanksgiving and holiday season, and before you know it, we'll see you in Port Charlotte.
All right, thanks, Neil. Same to you.
That's Ben Zobrist on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Again, his option picked up for a 10th season with the Rays.
It's time to go inside the operating room and take a look at Rays Baseball operations.
Now, the Rays within the week, as you just heard, picked up the option on Ben Zobrist and Joel Peralta. And joining us to discuss it now on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast is Vice President Chaim Bloom. Chaim, would it be fair to say the decision to pick up Ben's option will be the easiest call you have to make this offseason?
That was a simple call for us, Neil. You know, everybody, I don't think it's any secret, knows what Ben has meant to us and what he's done for us and the part of our success that he's been over the past number of years. And we're really excited to go forward with him.
How undervalued do you think he still is by the marketplace? Obviously, he does a lot of things that don't show up when you start to look at the advanced data and metrics. It does. Is he at all, you do think, undervalued at all still in Major League Baseball?
I think over the years, a lot of clubs, in part because of watching him and our success as a team, have started to value the things that Ben does and kind of the overall profile of the type of player that he is. I think teams are starting to value that a lot more and really appreciate the versatility and appreciate the many different ways in which he helps.
How important is he to, from what he can allow you to do in the offseason? Because playing second base, shortstop, and three outfield positions, he does give you flexibility in the types of moves you make to try and upgrade the team.
It's a big help. It opens up a lot of different options for us, and we've always valued versatility in different spots on our roster, but certainly with him, that the more players you have that can play multiple positions, the easier it is to do different things in the offseason.
The decision probably was a little bit different regarding Joel Peralta in terms of the ease. What did it essentially come down to in picking up his option?
Well, everybody knows Joel's been critical here for a number of years. Struggled a little more at times in 2014. But also, you know, when you look out at it, this guy struck out over a batter an inning. Didn't walk very many guys, obviously had a few poorly timed home runs and some big hits at the wrong times. But in general, the competitiveness that he brings to tough situations, and especially the mentorship that he brings to not just the bullpen, but really a lot of players on the club, I think is underappreciated. So we felt it was a very reasonable price to pay for him.
It does make your bullpen, I wouldn't say crowded, but I counted, if you count Adam Liberatore, who's someone you would consider for the 40-man, and all of the other guys who currently are on the 40-man, you could argue there's 13 relievers right now that are competing. Is that an optimal number you're looking at? How many bodies do you guys eventually want to compete for the spots for opening day 2015?
Well, you always want to have as much depth as you possibly can. Unfortunately, the rules only allow you to have 40 guys on the 40-man roster, so it does make some decisions a little bit tougher, but it also gives us a lot of depth to work from as we go into the offseason.
And you mentioned 40 men. You made your first couple decisions there, too. Matt Moore, obviously, coming onto the roster, a no-brainer. And I guess Vince Bellomi and Jerry Sands really just fell into a numbers game in terms of your needs?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, we like both guys and, you know, have felt in the past and still do that they're able to contribute and help a big league club. But unfortunately, we can only keep so many, and we've got to make tough decisions. This is the first of a number of tough decisions that we're going to have coming up. So we try to weigh all the factors and get feedback from our staff and look at it analytically and make the best decision that we can.
Would it be fair to say this is like the first inning of a 9-inning game right now in terms of what you have upcoming?
Yeah, we're really right at the beginning of the offseason. There's a lot of different paths that the winter can take from here, and we're going to have various decision points along the way and just hoping to make the best decisions at each spot.
That's Chaim Bloom, again part of a consistent feature on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, The Operating Room, with thoughts from the baseball operations staff.
Time now to head up to the press box.
Now, another regular feature of the show will be a look from the press box. And joining us now, one of the voices of the Rays in Dave Wills. Dave, let's start with Ben Zobrist, his option being picked up, and that of Joel Peralta. Did either in any way surprise you?
I don't want to say I was down on Ben earlier this year, but, you know, Ben had a tough first half of the season. There's no doubt the injury had a big, big part of it, but we saw how important Ben Zobrist is for this team when he's playing at the level that he's expected to play at. And, you know, when Ben's not in the lineup, that lineup looks awful different. You know, again, he plays a very, very solid second base. He plays a great outfield. He's, I thought, played a very, very good shortstop when he filled in there for, you know, Escobar this year. And then, obviously, what he does at the plate, both from the left hand, right handed side. You know, he is the epitome of what the Rays were all about back in 08, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, about, you know, having a 25 man roster that played like it was about a 28 or 29 man roster because he could do so many different things. So I was pleased to see that he's going to be coming back. I think that was a no brainer. I think there were some people wondering about Joel Peralta, but I think the, you know, again, Joel did have a couple of hiccups, gave up some long home runs. There's no doubt about it. And you get a little nervous about a seventh, eighth, or ninth inning guy that gives up as many home runs as Joel has the last couple of years. But I think he is still going to have some value to that bullpen. And it might not be so much in the eighth inning anymore, maybe even a lot in the seventh. But I think what we saw, Neil, and I know you have a lot of the numbers all the time that you talk about in the postgame show, that he was as good as it gets when it comes into hot situations. And, we know that while the guy that saves the 27th out is the guy that gets the save, we also know you can save a game on a sixth inning. And I think that's the way that whoever the manager is going to be for the Rays in 2015 is going to probably utilize Joel. I think
He's going to be a guy that can come into hot situations, not be a guy that gets all flustered, and be able to get out of those situations, hopefully, with no damage or minimal damage at best.
And certainly that's assuming they don't make any moves. I mean, certainly they, even though they picked up the option, we know that it doesn't preclude them from moving Joel. And if he is on the roster, he probably is right now, what, maybe even the fifth option in the bullpen, which isn't a bad fifth option if you're looking at McGee, Boxberger, Balfour, and Béliveau.
No, and, you know, and again, I think as we were saying, Joel has shown that even though he had some struggles last year, that when he came into hot situations, you know, two on with one out or one on with two outs or what have you, his inherited runner percentage was amongst that came into score was among the lowest in baseball. So, you know, those are very, very valuable guys. We watched that in the postseason with a number of teams, and especially with the Giants as they went on to win it. Obviously, Madison Bumgarner was a big reason why. But, you know, if you can have a guy, if your starter only goes 5 1/3 or 5 2/3, and you got to get an extra out or two with a couple of men on base, I think Joel and Grant have shown that they can do that. I think that, you know, again, Boxy had some great moments when he came into clean, and he was among the best along with Jake McGee. But I think those two guys are better suited right now anyway in their careers to come in and get guys out in hot situations. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, again, Joel's also a leader in the clubhouse. And I think right now in this transition from Joe Madden to whoever the manager may be, it's going to help to have some veteran leadership in that clubhouse too.
Yeah, you touched on that. How important was he? I mean, you know, I saw him as a mentor to many relievers who came through. But he did seem to be a real bridge to, you know, from one side of the clubhouse to the other in terms of connecting guys, too.
Oh, he's you know, you don't really expect middle relievers or, you know, even relievers, period, to be leaders in the clubhouse. But I think most people will admit that Joel Peralta is indeed that guy. And, you know, he's one of the lead bulls on that team. And I'd like to, again, see Joel get back into a role where, you know, not only is he a leader, but also a guy that's going to get some key outs for us, because Joel's a guy that pitches with when he's going well, carries a lot of confidence, and you know, we need that. I mean, it's one thing he can still lead when things are not going as well for him as he probably would like, but I think he's, you know, as most people are, they're a better leader, and they've got some more bravado when things are going well for him. So you know, and I think there's a little, for lack of a better term, too machismo with Joel. He's not afraid to stand up to anybody. And I'd like to see, make sure that Joel brings that to the table next spring when we get down to Port Charlotte.
You mentioned leadership. You know, there are a lot of young players who feel that Ben brings a certain amount of leadership to the table. And there's a strong argument that right now, as we look at the 40-man roster, he may be the best candidate to be your leadoff hitter on opening day.
Well, his on-base percentage was, you know, among the best on the team, if not the best. And, you know, again, to be a left-handed and right-handed hitter, that helps. You don't have to you know, vary from pitcher to pitcher. So you can make that argument. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I know that we talked about it last year with then-manager Joe Madden. He was kind of intrigued by it. We'll see what the new manager thinks. Again, I know that Matt Silverman, team president, knows that this offense needs to be tweaked a little bit. He knows it's going to be tough to do, if not impossible, via the free agent route. So, you know, as you said, there might be some trades. And the Rays have some thickness in the pitching department. There's no doubt they've got some young prospects that are on the horizon, and then they've got a couple of guys that are on the current team, on, you know, especially maybe guys like Matt Joyce or Desmond Jennings or what have you, that might be trade bait as well to try and tweak this offensive lineup a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried, you know, Neil, about our top part of the order. I think, again, when you start thinking about, you know, Ben Zobrist, Evan Longoria, and you know, you get a couple of guys mixed in there, I think those two guys are the least of our worries. I think we got to find out, you know, is Will Myers going to be able to bounce back? Now, Ben, it will be interesting, too, because Ben was really kind of a leader before he even got his feet a lot, you know, real wet with this team. I go back to, you know, the 07-08 years when he was still kind of making his way, and I think he actually kind of got, you know, mentioned something to Carl Crawford one time. That was kind of, people looked around and said, really? So, you know, Ben's got some natural leadership abilities, and it'll be interesting to see if maybe more of that comes out. Now that, again, we're making that transition from a manager who's been there for a while, who everybody kind of looked to now where there's going to be a new guy, where I'm sure the new manager is going to be saying, hey, I need some of you veterans who've been here for a while to continue to lead by example, and I think Ben can do that.
How are you doing through all the change?
Well, I was doing pretty good until I saw him put on a certain hat and a certain uniform. You know, again, I consider Joe to be a very, very good friend. You know, as we've talked about it many, many times, you know, we're all in there for our 7-minute pregame interview on a daily basis, and it turns out to be a 30 to 45 minute extravaganza of all kinds of topics, and it's the highlight of the day outside of the baseball game. But you know, again, at the end of the day, he had that option that was presented to him. You know, again, I'm not very, very pleased about everything that went down, but it is what it is. I think, you know, we kind of had that pit in our stomach for a while. It, you know, didn't feel good. I'm a Chicago guy, but I'm from the other side of town, so to see him go to that particular team did not make me feel good either. But at the end of the day, I think the sooner we put it behind us, the better we're all going to be. And I have full faith in Matt Silverman, the Rays team president of baseball operations, that now with 9-10 years of experience under his belt, he did pretty good, or they did pretty good in hiring Joe Madden 9 years ago. Now I feel like they've got more experience and are more comfortable in hiring their manager now. So from a fan standpoint, from a you know, I'd like to see Davey Martinez get a shot. Spent a lot of time obviously talking to Davey over these last 7 or 8 years, and I sit right behind him usually on the bus, so we share a lot of thoughts about games that are just over, and I really like his baseball insight. I do. I hope he gets a fair shot, and I know he will. But I trust Matt Silverman and the boys to make a quality selection, and I'm looking forward to working with whoever is our manager next spring in Port Charlotte.
Well said. In the meantime, they do continue to tweak the roster. And one other thing that happened was Matt Moore got put back on. Vince Belnomi was designated for assignment along with Jerry Sands. Probably not a big surprise on any of those moves.
No, it's not. And, you know, again, Jerry was a guy that, you know, came up and got a couple of big hits for us last year. And, you know, Vince Belnomi's been kind of like that quasi-4A guy. You know, there's some nice things at AAA, but has had a tough time adjusting at the big league level. His swing doesn't look like it's going to fit at the big league level. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that. That could be a big piece to our puzzle as well. I mean, I'm always a little leery about a pitcher coming off surgery whose off-season was rehab and not regular training to get ready for a season. So, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up too high that Matt Moore is going to come back and be, you know, an 18-3 or a 17-2 pitcher for us here in 2015. But it will be nice, hopefully, to have Matt Moore back to close to where he was in 2010 than where he was, you know, at times, you know, at the beginning of this year and even at the beginning of the, you know, parts of 2013. So I'm looking forward to seeing Matt back. And, you know, again, it's for all this talk about, you know, Andrew moving on and Joe moving on, this is still a very, very good baseball team, and it needs some tweaking offensively. Obviously, we got to play better defensively, and I think we have the tools to do that. But from a pitching standpoint, I think this team is in a position where they can make some noise, and hopefully that's the case. You know, nobody's going to be expecting a whole lot out of the Tampa Bay Rays in 2015, and maybe that's a good thing.
Dave, kick back, enjoy. As the offseason continues, I'm sure we'll have you back on plenty of times during the course of the hot stove.
Look forward to it, Neil. Thank you.
That's Dave Wills on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, part of a regular feature with people who know the team inside and out called From the Press Box.
It's On the Rise, taking a look at Rays minor leaguers.
And this week, we'll highlight three minor leaguers. Two of them, Patrick Leonard and Justin O'Connor, were in the Arizona Fall League All-Star game over the weekend. Leonard was the youngest player acquired from Kansas City in the James Shields trade. Now, on Monday, after the All-Star game, he had a two-homer game, his first two homers in Fall League play. Meanwhile, O'Connor has showed off a cannon of an arm, and many scouts we've spoken to have timed him at 1.7 seconds throwing to second base, which ranks on par with guys like Salvador Perez and Pudge Rodriguez. O'Connor is a good bet to be added to the Rays 40-man roster before the November 20th deadline. Leonard does not have to be protected until next year. Now, another player that doesn't have to be protected yet is Willy Adames. Of course, Adames was a key piece of the David Price trade with Detroit and Seattle. And this week, Baseball America updated the Rays' top 10 prospects and put Adames, who spent last year in low-A Bowling Green, at number one. Now, while several Rays are on the rise in the minors, others are making an impact in the community. Every year, the Rays organization participates in an all-staff volunteer day project where we build playgrounds for deserving community partners. This year, we're building our fifth playground at Team Success, a school of excellence in Bradenton. And congrats to our AAA affiliate, the Durham Bulls, who this week won the prestigious John H. Johnson President's Award
as the top organization in minor league baseball this year. Durham will receive the award next month at the winter meetings in San Diego. Before we close, here's some trivia. To win a prize, be the first with the answer, the correct answer, of course, to this question. Ben Zobrist had his option picked up with the Rays. What year will it be for Zobrist with Tampa Bay? Tweet us again at Rays Radio for your chance to win. And that's a wrap on the first This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com and follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.